Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Chad and I are chatting with Ed Moya, senior market analyst over at Oanda. Now we are going to bounce around to a couple different sectors, ones that have some news events and have seen some volatility here because, well, that still tends to be the most interesting sectors is when they are volatile and when stuff is happening. We're going to start with the broad averages, with a little bit more focus on the tech sector, because look, we've heard a lot of the weak breadth within the markets and just a handful of stocks leading these markets or at least maintaining them in and around these all-time highs. But Ed, you were looking at the tech stocks and generally the shorts in the tech sector. What are some of the movements that you have seen in terms of people shorting or unwinding some of the shorts within the tech sector?
Well, it seems like there was this big call for caution. I think that there was kind of, over the last couple months, this optimism that we were going to see tech was going to struggle because we're going to have a steeper yield curve. We're going to have more regulation. And there was optimism that once we got beyond the Delta variant, reopening trade would just see a rotation out of tech. And that's why you had hedge funds, for the most part, they were, you know, short tech. Since February, it's been about 28 straight weeks that NASDAQ futures were short tech. And that was the longest stretch since the global financial crisis. So I think that now we've, last week we turned positive. And that kind of, I think, really is showing you that it was just too many bearish bets. There was just this expectation the market was going to need to have a pullback at some point, and we're now well over 200 days without seeing a 5% pullback on the S&P 500. So I think you're having a little bit now of a moment where the shorts they're throwing in the towel, and when that happens, you can oftentimes see that means that trade can go higher. So I would not be surprised if we did see tech really start to push a little bit stronger here in these next few days.
Well, Ed, when people are talking about tech, you know, there's the whole universe of it, from the FANG stocks, the Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google. Some people would throw Tesla in there as a technology company now. You still have also the smaller, small cap tech stocks that are coming in that are having a nice push higher. And there's also all the different stay-at-home stocks, the Zooms. And you could even argue a company like Uber is a tech stock. So what areas are you seeing the most action? Is it the stalwarts, the larger companies that have those big short positions, or is it more of the Cathie Woods, where she's also investing in the decentralized finance companies and some of the almost crypto related and blockchain related companies in tandem with those? Where are you seeing the most action in tech right now?
Right now, it looks like it's going back to FANG. I think that FANG stocks are still getting the most attention. I think that a broad approach is best right now. And while you know, cryptocurrency volatility is elevated, I think that, you know, whenever you see 10, 20% drop on cryptocurrencies, that should be a red flag to try to pick up some of those blockchain trades. But for overall, though, right now the interest, it appears to be mostly with those mega cap tech stocks. I think that they're continuing to lead the charge. You've had lots of analysts, you know, turn bullish again on Google, or Alphabet, the parent company for Google, and also Amazon, which for Amazon, you know, Amazon has, you know, not necessarily outperformed as some of the other mega tech stocks. And I think what you're also going to see is there is this belief that if we do start to have a little bit more market nervousness or growth concerns later next year, you know, people are going to still go back to tech. So tech is looking good again. And I think until you really have everything finalized as far as infrastructure spending, as far as the reopening of the economy, you're not going to have the cyclical rotation really kind of derail tech. So right now it looks like tech can rise higher. Eventually there'll be a period where you know, you'll have industrials, materials really, you know, thrive, but that might be short-lived, and then I think it'll go back to tech focus.
And just one more quick question on tech. Do you think that there's a lot of overseas investors that see the strength of the U.S. markets and are treating tech stocks like a safe haven in a way? Because we're seeing inflows into tech as people sure bet that, hey, Apple's not going to zero and Facebook isn't going to zero. Do you think they're almost the new safe haven in the markets for investors?
I think that's a great point because the way the flows are going, it looks like it. And I think what's really been contributing to that has been China has been trying to launch their tech hub, and China has not been shy early in the last few years where they wanted to be the dominant tech player in the world. And this latest round of Chinese tech crackdowns are really scaring away foreign investors. I think that in addition to the dominance of tech in the U.S., I think right now you're still seeing there's too much uncertainty as far as the global economic recovery, and I think right now U.S. equities still remain a favorite trade, and right now a lot of that has to do too is that there's still this belief that you're going to have mostly a stronger dollar in the short and medium term, and if that's the case, your foreign investments into the U.S. dollar, if you're abroad, is looking pretty good.
All right, Ed, let's switch focus a little bit because it sounds like broadly outlook for the U.S. equity markets is optimistic, especially if we do see more money flow into tech, because we have heard there is still a lot of money on the sidelines here. Let's talk about the oil market, though, because oil, after a fairly short correction, bounced back quite quickly, is back up to about that $70 level. It's still a little bit off the highs of right around $77 that it reached at the beginning of July. But again, oil, there were a lot of people saying oil needed a little bit of a correction. It had about a 2-month correction and is now bouncing back, fighting with that 70 level. Where do you see oil going from here?
Right now, the fundamentals, both on the supply and demand, still support higher prices. I think that this market is expected to remain in deficit for the rest of the year. I think there was a little bit of a surprise last week when China tapped their reserves for the first time. But when you consider all the drivers right now, I think there's still a lot of optimism that the demand story is going to moderate. And there's just still, you're not going to have a quick return of regular production from the U.S. I think there's a big focus with hurricane season still going on. And right now, the Gulf of Mexico production is still roughly 50% shut in, and Tropical Storm Nicholas is going to make landfall. And I think you're going to see that there is still an unclear path as far as when everything will return. And we're still not over hurricane season. So I think there's lots of concern with U.S. production. And when you also throw on all this, all the government's efforts right now are looking to get away from oil and to clean our energy. And you're probably going to see that there's going to be more initiatives from the Biden administration that are just going to really, make people downgrade their outlooks for U.S. production over these next few years. And with OPEC Plus still kind of gradually raising their output, I think they know they don't have to fear shale production. They know that when the demand returns to normal, they're going to be the winners, and they're not going to have to scramble for market share. Amongst themselves, that'll be a story. But that's probably not happening, I think, until next year. So it looks like in the short term, you're probably going to see that there's a lot of supporting catalysts here for higher prices.
Well, Ed, one of the narratives that we've heard some about that could be a pressure on oil, just to take the other side of it, is that that if the U.S. keeps asking OPEC to increase their output, which seemed like a strange request, but we asked one of our oil experts about it, and he said, I think that's the goal, is to increase output from OPEC and to keep having the U.S. increase output, to keep having Canada increase output, so that it drives the price down as a way to try to stimulate the economy. So there was some interest, some people thought, in the narrative that they're trying to drive the price of oil down to give the retail and consumers a break at the pump and get them to invest in other businesses. Do you put any stock in that idea that one of the reasons the U.S. is asking OPEC to increase production, which they did just comply with, is to try to drive the price down to help at the gas pump?
I think definitely. I think there's no doubt that the administration wants lower oil prices. We're still at a vulnerable state. Large pockets of the economy are still just barely surviving. And I think what you have is, if we continue to have higher oil prices, that is going to really disrupt the outlook. It's going to keep the pressure. Inflationary concerns are just not going to go away. And I think there's no surprising. I think no one should be, you know, caught off guard that, well, the administration wants OPEC to pump more. I think that, you know, the U.S. is not going to be doing it. And I think that you're probably going to see the, you know, this market is still heavily in deficit. That's going to change early next year. And I think things will, you know, I think when you take a look at the 2-3 year forecast, you know, most analysts have oil prices around these levels or lower. So I think things will normalize. And I think you're at a moment where no one knows exactly how, you know, the economy is going to be over the next couple months. And if we get that, if we get another wave. So I think you should not be surprised to hear the administration make that call. And I think, you know, just seeing China even, you know, tap in their reserves, you know, that should, you know, draw attention that despite where they are in their economic recovery, you know, these higher oil prices are starting to affect them. So, you know, don't be surprised if the U.S. eventually taps their own reserves. I think there's a likely to be strong resistance if prices continue to go higher. But right now, I think in the short term, though, everything is still supportive for that move. But yeah, I would not be surprised if we did hear more support to move sooner from the government.
All right, Ed, one final sector to quickly touch on here being cryptocurrencies. We had, let's call it secondary, maybe even third coin, that was in the news on the back of some fake news out of Walmart. That was Litecoin. There's a report that Walmart was going to start accepting Litecoin. That made Litecoin shoot up higher. And then Walmart came out and said, no, that's not the plan right now. Look, it does just go to show how volatile some of these cryptocurrencies can be. And look, a lot of the time, some of these cryptocurrencies are driven by tweets or influencers. Maybe not so much fake news, but there is definitely that component too. This story was all about fake news. What's your takeaway from that quick little move in Litecoin? Litecoin coming back into the headlines, but again, not necessarily for the right reasons. But it seems like a lot of investors, when they do hear of potentially a large company taking some sort of a cryptocurrency, it's an investable trade, even if it's just short term.
I think this Litecoin Walmart story is fascinating, and I think you're probably going to see some people go to jail over this. This screams of market manipulation. I think they're to have a fake press release go through Globe Newswire, and then you have CNBC, Bloomberg, Reuters, all run with the story. And if you're, you know, the driver behind that, you know, you perfectly timed a moment where you knew how the market was going to react. You knew that the broader market at the early in the early session, you know, risk appetite, it was risk on. You know, stocks were higher, and typically when you have a bullish catalyst for crypto, and if risk appetite is doing pretty well, you're going to have, you know, an extraordinary move. And what they did, and you know, it'll be interesting to find out who was behind this. They totally, you know, chose a perfect coin that, you know, was kind of off of most people's radars. You know, the market cap of Litecoin is, you know, it's peanuts compared to, you know, Bitcoin and Ethereum. Just to kind of put it into context, it's about a third the size. It's about one third the size of Dogecoin. So you knew that if you had massive inflows going into this, because there is this belief that you're going to have, you know, corporate America embrace crypto. So hearing Walmart make a partnership with a cryptocurrency did not seem like something that, wow, wait, is that really happening? I mean, it could have been a gradual partnership. So I think that you had the market run with that. So I think the spike higher over a third, and now, you know, it's negative for the day. I mean, going up over 30% and then, you know, being down 2%, that's an easy move if you're behind that. So I think you're going to see more calls for regulation. I think this is unfortunate, as I think the Litecoin finally made a statement, and you're going to see, you know, even Litecoin, the statement went to their Twitter account, so that was an error. It was an unfortunate situation that I think is really going to deter a lot of investors, especially if you're one of the ones that bought when the prices were soaring. So I think it's just it's another reminder, be careful with cryptos.
Ed, do you think that these type of stories bring investors into the sector, or does it just broadly hurt the sector? You wrapped it up there by saying, really, it sounds like it could hurt the sector, but again, when it's in the news, when people see these kind of moves, and that overall theme, or at least assumption, that cryptos are going to be more accepted, they've at least been moving down that road. Do you think stories like these do suck in some investors into that sector?
I think it does. I think that the problem is, and this has been one of the big problems with cryptocurrencies, especially Bitcoin in the beginning. Cryptos, for a lot of investors, unfortunately, it is kind of that get-rich-quick mentality. And I feel that a lot of people will look at this and say, well, you know, this was a scam, a hoax. But it goes to show you that eventually we will see corporate America start to embrace some of these cryptocurrencies. Now, I think you're probably having everyone, you know, if you're, you know, running a major Fortune 500 company, you're waiting to see what the Fed does with their research papers. You're waiting to see, you know, what exactly outlines do they have for a central bank digital currency. And we're going to get that this month. They said early September, so the Fed, you know, obviously that could be any time now. But I think that you're going to see there is going to be massive endorsements for going into a much more less volatile, stable type cryptocurrency. Who that will be, that's, you know, TBD. But I think a news event like today, it will detract some, but it will also pique the interest of others. And I think there is this, with cryptocurrencies, the volatility is actually no longer scaring away people. So I think people will say, well, this is why you want a diversified portfolio. This is why you want to, you know, have some outlandish price targets. If you make 100 times your, if you double your investment, if you have some longer term bets, you're going to want to, you know, be involved in this space. And, you know, the advice of 1% of your risk capital into cryptocurrencies, you know, if you're on the right side of this Litecoin move and you're able to capture profit, that, you know, that is, you know, going to keep a lot of people excited and interested in the space. So I think it's really hard to dissect the impact on how the whole, you know, retail trader or new trader to cryptocurrencies will take to this. But I think it's negative, but you know, there's still tremendous growth in this space, and we're still in the early days.
All right, Ed, we're going to wrap it up there. Good chatting with you about a couple sectors that are moving, or at least in terms of tech, have the potential to move if we do see that now trend or early on trend start to take shape. Ed, we'll chat again next week, and who knows what we'll be talking about, but let's see which markets start to move and where the interest is. Ed, thanks for your time today. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
Thank you. You too.